Today is the December 9th, 2018 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Frank Appice's message will be the Italy Missionary Update. If you would like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Give button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Hey, it's much better. Thank you. Well, it's nice to have technical people come around and helping you out. But you know, when I think about you all, I think about Psalm 16, verse 3. It says, "As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones." In another version, it says, "They are my true heroes in whom is all my delight." And you guys are true heroes, and I really want to say thank you. We do want to thank you for your prayers. We know we have felt them through my wife, as you, all you know, that she has cancer. And it's been a blessing to see how prayers have been affecting us in so many wonderful ways. So we just want to thank you for that, and we thank you for your financial giving. But most of all, we thank you for you. You are heroes. You're God's people, and it's really exciting coming back to be with you. I'm going to give you just a little bit of an update of what's going on in Italy. We started a church in Torino, as you know. That was the first place we landed, and we grew it to be about 50 people. We raised up some deacons in the church, and soon we'll raise up an elder from one of those four people, which is really exciting for us. But then I have this itching to leave, you know, to go someplace else. And Pam and I went on a little three-day weekend away from Torino, and it was in the Lombardia area, where Milano is part of the Lombardia. And the first day we spent time in prayer and spent time in the Word and then discussing what God had been teaching us and praying some more. And then the second day we went out and we scouted around and we found this tower. It was a museum. And, you know, it was pretty high up, you know, and had one of those stairwells that goes up, you know, and it had a little theme on it. There had been a war there and they told how they won that war. But when we got to the top of that tower, the first verse that came into my mind was, "Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession." I said, "Lord, would you give me all of Italy with the gospel of Jesus Christ?" And then the second verse that he brought to mind was in Genesis 13. And it talks about Lot leaving Abraham. And God says, "As far north as you can see, as far south as you can see, as far east and west you can see, I'm going to give you this land." And again, I was just awed by that. And so we eventually moved to Milano. And we have a small church, about 20-some people. We grow and we shrink. The kids graduate, they move out because we work with university students. But now we're starting to get into the community a little bit, and it's been really encouraging. But in Torino, one of the elders that was raised up in Torino, he and his wife moved to a subsidiary of Torino, which is about 45 minutes away, and they started three home churches. So I just want you to know, it's all because of you that we're able to do what we do. And Acts 1:8, we sing that in Italy. We sing it in Italian. We sing it in English. And it's such a blessing because we want to keep going. Now, next month, I'm going to hit the 7-0. And I'm really excited about it, mind you. I'm excited about getting up there in years because God is teaching me so much. So if you want to hear a little bit more about what we're doing in Italy afterwards, you can meet us. Where are we going to meet? At the fellowship hall? And we'll tell you a little bit more, and you can ask questions if you have them. Now, my Bible this morning is on paper because I need large print, even though I have glasses. And so on paper, we can make it as big as we want. And so my message is on paper. So I'd like to share with you this morning a little bit about something that's very dear to my heart, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, that was coined by Nehemiah, but we're not going to talk about Nehemiah. We're going to talk about James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. And that has to do with trials. And I'm sure none of you have any trials, right? I didn't think so. But anyway, it says in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking it in anything." Now, how many of you would like to be mature and complete and lacking in nothing? We all do, right? That's the goal of our instruction. That's what the Lord wants from us. And I want to give you a little bit of an introduction of what I think trials mean, okay? One of the purposes of trials is to help us to come to know Christ. I don't know about you, but for me, that's what it took. It took a trial to help me to come to know the Lord Jesus. The second one is, another is to go deeper in my relationship with God. You know, when you're facing trials, when no one can help you out, you know that Christ is there to help you. Because he said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Then they help us to live his word. You know, people are attracted by the things that we say, but they're more attracted when they see you living it out. We have teams that come to Italy on a regular basis from the United States. And I was telling Steve, you know, some are tall, some are short, some are fat, some are skinny. And yet they are so impactful in the lives of our kids. And I started thinking, why? Because they have Christ in them. They are attracted to Christ in them. Isn't that exciting? When our attitude changes, when God starts transforming our lives, we see major changes take place in our lives. They also transform our character. Now, you know, God wants us to have the same character that Jesus Christ had. And, you know, the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He wants that in our lives. He wants us to walk that way. Because when we are really loving God, people can see that. You cannot imagine how many people come up to us and say, "I wish I had a marriage like yours." Well, I say you can. You have to have Christ in you. Christ will transform you. And then the other thing is they help us to become more like him. That is the goal of our instruction, that we become just like Christ. That we become just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it strengthens our faith as well. You know, when you pray and you see God working in your life, your muscle starts growing. That's the faith muscle. And that's exciting. And we've seen many people hear our prayers. And, you know, we sometimes we walk up to people and say, "Can I pray for you?" Now, the students have this kind of look on their faces. None of my friends are around. "Okay, you can pray for me." But then they come and ask us to pray for them. You know why? Because God answered their prayers. It's so exciting. But I want to cover James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. But before that, an example of praying for trials. Have you ever prayed for trials? You know, I was a young Christian. I was probably about 6 months old in the Lord. And I asked one of my pastors, I said, "You know, I would really like to go deeper in my relationship with the Lord. What do I need to do?" And the brother said, "Keep doing what you're doing." That wasn't a good answer for me. Of course, what I was doing was good because, you know, I was regular time into having a quiet time. I was praying regularly, and I was putting the Word of God in my life. I was being obedient to it. And then my spiritual dad would come along and say, "Hey, Frank, you know, the Bible says you need to be baptized." And he would show me the verses and the examples. And I'd say, "Okay, let's get baptized." And then he said, "You know, the board says that you need to tithe 10% of your money to the Lord. And he showed me the references, and my favorite is Malachi 3:10. I don't know about you guys. But I looked at that, and I said, okay, I'll start tithing. So I was obedient to what the word said. But I still didn't feel that I was in that deep, deep relationship with the Lord that I wanted to be in. So when I moved to Gainesville, Florida, out of obedience to the Lord, I went to a prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Do you know that 90% of the church was there to pray? I said, wow, this is amazing. And I heard this brother pray, and he said, Lord, he said, that trial that you gave me was so difficult for me. But I just want to thank you for the grace that you gave me to go deep in my relationship with you. I said, that's it. I just need trials in my life. So I prayed. I said, Lord, if that's what it takes for me to get into a deeper relationship with you, I want you to give me trials and give me the grace to accomplish whatever you put before me. And then one of the elders stood up and prayed and said, Lord, I really don't know if Frank understands what he's asking for. He said, but please give him the grace to go through it. And you know, I really came across major trials, but I want you to know that God sustained me through the whole thing. He taught me things and he blessed me. And so I look at trials and I think, hey, if that's what it takes for us to grow and mature and to be like our Savior, I think that's great. I think that's great. And I know some of the trials that come along are a little bit on the heavy side. But I just want you to know what the verse says. It says, you will encounter trials. Regardless whether you pray for them or not, you will encounter them. In verse 1, it says, 2a, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, you will face them no matter who you are. They will come whether you pray or not. But look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It's interesting what it says here. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Now, you know, when we suffer, what Christ suffered, we will never experience what Christ suffered. But imagine that. We're suffering alongside him. It gives glory to God when we suffer with him. It gives glory to him. And then it says, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the world. Now, you know, we see Jesus on the cross, and he taught a lot of incredible things. But when he comes again, wow, we're going to see something magnificent. He's going to come as a warrior. He's going to come as a king of kings, as Lord of lords. As a matter of fact, it says in Philippians that at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Everyone will see him as he really is. And that is so exciting for me to think about that we're going to face trials, but it's for the glory of our King. It's for the glory of our King. Then what is your response to the trials? What should be your response to the trials? It says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, when you're facing trials, do you have great joy? I want you to know that when I faced my trial with my wife to find out that she had cancer, it made me cry. It made me cry. I didn't have that joy in me. And then I started thinking about it a little bit more. I thought, you know, my citizenship is not here. My citizenship is not here. her citizenship is not here either. Our citizenship is in heaven. Do we have eternity on our hearts? Because you see, if we have eternity on our hearts, we will experience great joy in our hearts. After we talked about it and prayed about it, you know, we really start experiencing that joy that comes from the Lord. Because he wants us to be with him also. And he's going to wipe away all those tears and all that pain and everything else that comes along with that. He's going to take it all away. You know, sometimes I think, you know, we have a nice home, you know, and everything's going well. And that's what life is supposed to be like. It's not supposed to be like that. God wants us to enjoy him and to be in his awesome presence all the days of our lives. And so I look forward to that. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Isn't that awesome? Now you want to be strong, don't you? You want to be strengthened? You want to be mature? You want to enjoy the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is just so awesome. So that brings joy into my heart when I think about trials. You know, my wife is a precious jewel. I just want you to know when our sixth anniversary, I gave her a special ring. It was a ruby ring. And the reason I gave her that ruby ring, because in Proverbs 31:10, it says, an excellent wife who can find, she is more precious than rubies. And I gave her the ring to remind her how precious she was to me. But that's how God thinks about us as well. It says in the word that he has loved us with an eternal love. Now, how long is eternal? We're just scratching the surface of eternity. But it's exciting. It's really exciting. And then God's purpose for trials. James 1, 3 and 4 says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now, you all want to grow in endurance, is that right? So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Surely you want to be perfect and complete, right? That's what I desire. I want to be perfect and complete, just like my Savior is. In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Just for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. We don't want to falsify anything. We want to have that genuine faith that only comes as we pray to our Savior and then wait for the results of that. And then our muscle grows. Now, I just want you to know, I don't like doing exercises, but I remember one time I wanted to build a relationship with a guy, and he was a muscle man. You know, he lifted weights. And so I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and at 5:30 we'd lift weights together. And I want you to know that my wife would say, honey, I could feel your muscles. But I would rather feel the muscle of our faith growing, because that's much, much more precious. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Now I'm sure all of us would like to have praise and glory and honor on the day of Christ. Well, our glory, as Paul would say, are you. You know, every time we touch somebody's life and they come to know Jesus, that's our glory. That is so exciting to think about that. You know, a smile goes a long way. A touch really accomplishes so much more. It's not the texting that really strengthens our love for one another. It's when we talk face to face. I had a fantastic conversation with that guy with the white shirt in front here, otherwise known as Steve Hogan. We got together. We had breakfast together. That was just great. That was just great. We encouraged one another. And that's so important. And you know, in James 1:12, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Wow. Just imagine that each one of you, dear saints, will have a crown on your head because you persevered through the trials. It makes such a difference. And one of the things that really touched me, I was saying that when you really are going through the difficult times. And for me and my wife, you know, I cannot imagine not having Pam by my side. We don't have any children, but I cannot imagine not having Pam by my side. But the thing that is exciting for me is that when I read the word today, it just jumps up at me. And the verse that came to my heart recently was, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." You know, for me to live is Christ. Pam and I are praying that even to the last breath in our lungs, that we be able to share the good news with someone. And not to be afraid, not to be ashamed, and not to be embarrassed, because he's well worth it. To be able to see someone pass from death into life is so exciting. We had a young couple that wants to get married. They asked us if we would do premarital counseling with them. I said, sure, that'd be great. She's a Filipino and he's half Italian and half Mexican. And so we started off the first day and the young woman said, she says, you know, I really love God, but I don't have a relationship with him yet. And I thought, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, marriage is going to be worthless. So anyway, I didn't say that, though, of course. But the next week, we prayed through the week, Pam and I, and we asked her, you know, I couldn't help but hearing what you said about not having a relationship with the Lord. I said, in order to really have a dynamic marriage, it starts with the relationship with Jesus. I said, would you like to know how you can have a relationship with the Lord? And she said, yes, I would. So that night she came to know the Lord. You see, it's so important to remember that God wants all of us to proclaim his truth. But we're not afraid of dying anymore because, hey, listen, I'm going to be 70 in January. I think I'm older than Steve. I can't believe that. Can you imagine that? I'm teasing, of course. But it's so interesting. It's so interesting. Pam and I look at each other and say, honey, we'll make the most of the opportunity as long as we are here. We're not going to worry about tomorrow. We're going to just worry about today. And put this verse in practice in our lives. For me to live is Christ, to give my all for the glory of my King. And if he decides to take us home, as Billy Graham once said, if someone tells you that I died, don't believe them. I'm more alive now than I have ever been before. And that's a fact. So you see, we are more alive when we're with the King. Right now, we might be suffering and going through difficulties and trials and sorrow and so forth, so on. But just remember that our citizenship is not here in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven with the King. And we're sons. We're sons of the King. And he wants us to be with him. So I hope this has encouraged you a little bit. I know it encouraged me tremendously because we're experiencing it. And I pray that you always remember to touch someone. Share a little bit of your life with them. And let God work through your lives. Lord, I just really thank you, Lord, for what a privilege, Lord, to be here with these dear saints. They are the majestic ones, Lord. They are my heroes, God. And I pray, God, that you would use them in a mighty way. I praise you, God, that trials help us to grow and mature, to become more and more like you are, God, to strengthen our faith, and to help us to go deeper in our relationship with you. And Lord, when we are going through the trials, that's when people really think about us the most. Lord, I was thinking about Maria, Lord. She said to me, I don't have the kind of faith that you have. Because she was able to see the difference. She was crying about her father passing away. And we were rejoicing because we are going through this trial. And it really touched her heart. So Lord, I pray, touch our hearts, God, not to exit out of the trials, but to go straight forward. And you'll give us the grace, Lord, to accomplish what's on your heart. And Lord, you'll teach us and you will bless us as a result of those trials that you bring our way. Just really love you, Lord, and love your people. And I thank you again for the privilege to be here with them. In Jesus' name, amen.